B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Another miscarriage of justice, Mike Riley. Becky Lynch wasn't legally in the match. Charlotte Flair was once again jobbed, and this time she was jobbed out of the main event of WrestleMania. Charlotte Flair dominated the Royal Rumble match, only to be cheated out of a chance to main event WrestleMania. That wasn't fair to Flair, Mike. That was not fair to Flair.
God, you are the Charlotte Flair captain cheerleader, Jimmy. But I got to tell you, though, you do wear it on your sleeve and you own it. So I give you credit there.
I do, 100%. Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page at 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, happy one-year anniversary for the podcast.
It was a year ago this week. We did our pilot one, and then we started the weekly one right before WrestleMania, right?
Most downloaded episode we've ever had was Ronda Rousey's debut. But Becky, I think the lead story out of tonight's show is Becky Lynch winning the Royal Rumble match. She last eliminated Charlotte Flair. Becky ended up taking Lana's spot in the match because Lana was injured on the pre-show during the Rusev Nakamura match. The story of Becky being in the match, she did a run-in, fit Finlay, whether he had the authority or not. I don't think he did, to put Becky in the match. Then Becky got in the match. She herself was injured at the hands of Nia Jax, which story-wise was very well done. It was a strong finish to what I thought was otherwise a weak Royal Rumble match. Becky winning under questionable circumstances leaves a lot of doors open going forward as we continue the road to WrestleMania. That is a good thing. It's a really good thing. But I didn't think that the Royal Rumble match for the women's side was very good, but I thought they told a good story to the finish of the match.
So here we are a year later after the first ever Women's Royal Rumble, where it closed out the pay-per-view, and this year it's the third one on the card, and yeah, it just was a pretty weak showing up until the end there, like you said, with Becky Lynch. And yeah, there's so much to see what happens here with how it's all played out with Fit Finlay situation, and you know, if she was essentially legal or not. But I just think that from what I saw tonight, from what I take away in the Women's Royal Rumble, and Becky Lynch even said it on her Twitter, that a year ago at WrestleMania, she was in the pre-show, and now she's in the main event of WrestleMania. And Jimmy, this is probably going to kill you to hear me say this. I am no longer seeing Charlotte Flair in the main event at WrestleMania. I just don't see it. I just see Becky and Ronda, and then you have Charlotte maybe go up against Asuka or something like that, a rematch from last year. I can't see it happening. I don't see it happening as of this very moment. A lot can change, but those are their two hottest ones right now, and they're going to ride that hot hand.
No, and I don't blame them if they go Becky and Ronda. I mean, Becky has had, since Money in the Bank, Becky's been awesome. No question about it. I still think that match needs a little flair to it. But if they just go Becky and Ronda, that's fine. I'm not going to object about it. If I'm being objective, of course. I get it. Becky's the hottest thing in pro wrestling right now. I totally get it. Yeah. And Ronda is whatever Ronda is, whether she's leaving after WrestleMania or staying after WrestleMania, long-term, short-term, her contract is for another few years, but whether she's actually going to become a part-timer or not, that is yet to be seen. But as I said, the doors opened for them to travel a different path. I kind of pointed out last week's show, Charlotte has a legitimate gripe here. Becky wasn't in the match. She won the match illegally. However, they decide to play it. And to your point, maybe they end up doing Charlotte Asuka 2 at Mania, or they put Charlotte in a totally different program. But possibilities, and I think that that's the most important thing that comes out of the Women's Royal Rumble match, is that they have possibilities. I don't want to be negative. I'm tired. We're all tired. We just watched 5-6 hours of wrestling. It was too much. I want to try to stay positive. One of the things that I did, while this was, I thought, one of the weaker Royal Rumble matches, and we'll get to the men's stuff because I thought the men's match was weak as well. I did like the fact that the women's match featured some people who we're going to find out more about in the weeks and months to come. Lacey Evans, number one, lasted until around the 17th entrant. Good thing. The pop that Bayley got was eye-opening to me because it shows that the fan base is still with her despite her being misused the last year or so. Another positive, I thought this was the best spot in the match, was Mandy Rose knocking Naomi off the stairs.
Yep.
We all thought that that was going to be the Kofi Kingston spot. Naomi was going to get back in. Here comes the evil Mandy Rose, God's greatest creation, to knock her right off, and that story will continue.
Yep.
The Casey Canizzaro spot, where she's doing a handstand walk and then gets back into the ring by wrapping her legs around the post and essentially doing a sit-up into the ring. I thought those were good things throughout the match. I didn't like the fact that apparently the Riot Squad has manager's licenses and can just hang around the ring and act as lumberjills or lumberjacks.
Yeah.
Didn't like that a lot. But overall, Becky Lynch, main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, and just to touch on the women's Royal Rumble, you know, the other participants, like you said there, Jimmy, I like the placement for Charlotte being number 13.
Lucky 13.
Yeah, lucky 13. And how about Natalya? She was the number 2 entrant. And I don't have the exact time on her, but
she was 55 minutes, 58 seconds, which would be a record because Sasha Banks went 54 and change last year.
So, yeah, so there you go. That was your Iron Woman right there for the Royal Rumble on the women's side. Lacey Evans put on a good show, like you said, the first one. Ember Moon, I mean, the future for her is still pretty bright.
Yep.
She made her debut last year. Tamina, how many eliminations did she end up having? I know that was your Diesel.
I don't have that one. I think she eliminated Mickey James.
Yep.
And if she eliminated one other, I missed it. But okay. I believe Charlotte had 1, 2, 3, 4
I'm gonna have five
eliminations, which would be the high number.
Okay. All right. And also, I love the placement of Alexa Bliss at the end, too. I mean, there were a lot of power stars at the end. Alexa Bliss, 26. Bayley, 27. Lana, 20th. Then, of course, to Becky. Nia Jax, 29. And then Carmella. That's a strong finish there for the Women's Royal Rumble, the way they had that placed. The whole card, though, I know we're going to talk about it, but I think it could have been put into a different position on the card, not the fourth match in, maybe a little later, because it seemed like that crowd was starting to get out of it, especially after the Women's Royal Rumble. I know we'll talk about that.
Yeah, and I think the Women's Rumble, the length of it, and they didn't balance out the star power in that match, and there were a lot of people I think people didn't know. We love Maria Kanellis. Nobody cares about her and Alicia Fox doing a hat spot.
Nope.
Just nobody does.
Yep.
And I'm just looking through. It's like there are a lot of people in there that I don't think the WWE audience knew. The hardcore NXT audience knew, but I don't think that the WWE audience knew. And you have to keep understanding that there are points where they're just different audiences.
And I'm glad you said that, Jimmy, because that's where exactly I want to slam Todd Phillips. There were 3 or 4 people. I had no idea who they were. He didn't tell you their name when they came down because the lower third wasn't there, and he didn't even tell you the proper pronunciation or their name. So I thought that was very unprofessional as a broadcast journalist. Didn't give you the description of who it was because I'm not an NXT guy week in, week out. So 2 different audiences, you have to do that, and he failed behind the microphone.
Yep. So the men's, I want to get to the men's rumble next. Seth Rollins is your winner. He last eliminates Braun Strowman via a curb stomp. I felt like, and part of it is because this match started at 10:54 p.m., which we're tired, we're worn out, and it started with Elias and Jeff Jarrett in the ring talking. And
Well, Jimmy, let me pause you.
It was supposed
to start at 10:48, but 6 minutes of talking with Elias and Jeff Jarrett. So go ahead. That's insane.
Yeah, it was just it's not what we were looking for at that point.
Unnecessary.
It's the length of the show. And just like looking at the people, like I think our friend Lauren put it best on Twitter when she said, "This is mid-card hell." And while that's a little strong, I think the star power in this Royal Rumble was a little weak, was very weak. Think about the main event people, right? Like Nakamura is at number 3, Kurt Angle's at number 4. Love Johnny Gargano, not a main event WWE guy yet. NXT main event, again, different audiences. Jinder Mahal, love Jinder, not a main event guy. Samoa Joe, main event guy, should have been there at the end. I kind of like became disinterested when he was eliminated. Seth Rollins was number 10. He's obviously your winner. New Day, Mustafa Ali, these are all, I just don't see them as main event guys at WrestleMania. I know Drew McIntyre is the big cool thing now.
Not Bobby Lashley. We know that. Rey Mysterio is definitely not.
Jeff Hardy. Yeah. I would have been cool, but
yep.
No. So, Shelton Ziggler's Benjamin back now. I thought Ziggler was on hiatus. He's got right. A rush because he's got a comedy show that starts, at 12:30. Randy Orton, I hated the Nia Jax entrant beating up R-Truth.
Yep.
So now Nia, because WWE has made it pretty clear that they are not beating up women.
Mm-hmm.
And now you put Nia Jax in a situation where she's got to take some punishment and she's got to get eliminated from the match. So now it's okay.
No, not just beating up women. It's the year 2019 here, folks. And, they're playing this politically correct route, and they are totally going against what they're doing there. So I hated it too. That's where they could have cashed in with The Rock. Undertaker. I'm just saying hypothetical situations here. Something like that would have had a huge pop, but oh gosh, not a fan of that at all. Not a fan.
And look, I have no, there's a lot of years. Look at Sensational Sherry's career. Look at how much Hulk Hogan beat her up.
Yep.
In the context of pro wrestling, right? So like I'm not opposed to the villain female getting her comeuppance.
Right.
Not against that, but if you've made the statement that you're not doing that anymore, then Nia Jax shouldn't be in the match.
Exactly. You're going against your own, the way you got to practice what you preach, and they're not doing that.
But so what does this all mean? Does Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins interest you as a WrestleMania main event, Mike?
No. I would have preferred Braun Strowman. I really would have. And, I know what they're trying to do. We've been saying this for months here on the show, and it just seems like I'm going to, put all my eggs in one basket here, that Seth Rollins will be the guy to take the belt off of Brock Lesnar, and then it sets up a feud with he and Roman Reigns when he's back, or Dean Ambrose, and you get those three there for the Shield. But it just doesn't – I don't know. I would have preferred Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar. Braun Strowman, furious about – having to give up his title shot against Lesnar and, get back at him. I think that would have been a better storyline, but I see what they're doing. Doesn't interest me. How about you?
So to answer your question directly, Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins doesn't really interest me as a WrestleMania main event.
Yep.
But I think Seth Rollins is the one who deserves the placement in a WrestleMania main event.
Right.
Because Monday Night Raw has been his show for just under a year, maybe about 11 months, something like that. So he definitely deserves the spot, but I would rather see Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles, Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins versus somebody not named Brock Lesnar. And and that's not to say that Brock isn't. There just seems like a miss between Brock and Seth. I feel like they work two different styles of match, and you're just going to have Seth selling a lot of the time. I mean, and to transition into the Finn Balor Brock Lesnar match, which I thought was good, and it used a lot of logic, and it used Finn Balor being aggressive and using the announce table to injure Brock Lesnar and injure his midsection, which of course is where Finn's coup de grace comes into play. Right. And they were really smart in how they played that match. And I think overall it showed that Finn Balor can hang with a main event big guy. So I think you did another positive from the show is showing that Finn Balor is a main event guy.
So I
think what you're going to see is you're going to see a similar match at WrestleMania as you've seen with Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor. And I don't know that that's maybe it is what you're looking for. It's not necessarily what I'm looking for.
No.
I think I still think the guy who should beat Brock Lesnar is Samoa Joe. But we're not getting that because he's 40 years old and he's, you know, not the Vince McMahon prototype.
It's a great one-on-one scenario. It's happened before. You know, one other thing I thought of, I was getting furious with the Brock Lesnar Finn Balor finish after he won because it was so darn late and just wanted to get right to the Royal Rumble. And here we were. And it's like, come on, do you have to really beat the crap out of him with the German suplex over and over again? So someone, I put a tweet out there. I said, let's get this over and done with at Sarge985. And someone did reply, and they made a good point, Jimmy. Because I remember you said last week here on the podcast that Finn Balor would come out as the demon. Well, Finn Balor did not come out as a demon. That could set up a Finn Balor demon versus the Beast down the line, too. Maybe make it a triple threat or something like that. Or just get him back at some point. But I just thought this would be the bridge, but it just kind of had in the back of my head that that could happen. Demon versus the Beast because of the way he literally beat the crap out of him after he legitimately won the match.
Yeah, and if you're doing a rematch, it would be that way. But I mean, if you're doing that rematch, you're not doing an Elimination Chamber. Maybe you're doing it at Fastlane, but do you really want to use...
God, I totally forgot about that pay-per-view.
Yeah, person. you got two before Mania.
Oh, God. It's so unnecessary.
And my hope is that it's not ending at midnight like tonight's Rumble did.
Yeah.
It just wasn't necessary to end at midnight. Mm-hmm. I don't want to complain about the time. I don't want to do that. Finn Balor main eventer. I mean, I don't want to do that. I want to do it, but I don't want to do it because I don't want to waste people's time.
We'll save it.
Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar is your main event for WrestleMania, or it's Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey. Maybe they work Charlotte into it. Time will tell on that one.
Yeah.
I will say that this show, again, trying to be positive, this show started out with a good opening match. It was Asuka and Becky Lynch. This finish surprised me. And even though we kind of figured that Becky was going to be in the Rumble and either finish first or second, Asuka getting a clean tap out on Becky Lynch, that legitimately surprised me. There are a million finishes in wrestling, and I didn't think that a clean tap out was one of them for this match.
Yeah, and I just thought, it could have been better finished, but... I wasn't surprised that Asuka retained, though, Jimmy. I really wasn't surprised. But what kind of ending would you have preferred? What would you have liked?
You could have had Becky pass out.
Okay.
You could have had a run-in from Ronda Rousey.
So DQ? You're okay with DQ?
Yes.
Okay.
You could have had Asuka pin Becky after a Ronda run-in. You could have done that.
Okay.
I was surprised that it was clean. And I mentioned this on Twitter too. Very few people remember the night that Seth Rollins cashed in on Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 31 that Seth Rollins lost clean to Randy Orton earlier in the show.
Right.
So nobody will remember this. And it was a good match. Don't get me wrong. It was a little slow in starting, but it was a good match overall. I was surprised that Asuka tapped out Becky.
I mean, I just think that they wanted to get Becky right into the Royal Rumble there and have her get that revenge, and she did. So I think it was all storyline. You didn't want her to go in hurt. You just want to have her come in clean, and sure as hell enough, she did.
The other women's championship match was Ronda Rousey versus Sasha Banks. I thought this was a great story told during this match. Ronda puts her fist into the steel post, or the LED post, I guess it would be called now. And Sasha Banks just went to work on it. And Ronda Rousey, of course, going for her armbar finish, worked on Sasha Banks. You saw some of the dirty tactics of a villain Sasha Banks because she was trying to win. Overall, I thought it was good. I thought it was good to see Ronda get a pinfall victory rather than tap out. They did the Sasha Banks doesn't respect anybody thing, and they left with Sasha Banks giving the four fingers, teasing maybe another Four Horsewomen story to be told.
And, I take this back because I thought that Sasha Banks is going to be in the Royal Rumble after that, and she was not a participant in the Women's Royal Rumble. So I thought she was going to have a bit of a damage run there. But the Four Horsemen situation, yeah, great foreshadow. And maybe that's where now with a Charlotte situation not being in the main event, you could very easily parlay that scenario there. And say Becky Lynch does beat Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, you put all four of them in the ring at the very end together.
I think what they have to do, though, before they get to Four Horsewomen against Four Horsewomen is explain who Shayna Baszler and her girls are,
right,
to add into the... Because, again, it's NXT versus WWE audience. Not everybody knows, and you have to educate your audience. So if they are going to go that route, do it at Survivor Series, do it at SummerSlam, do it when you have more time than... What are we, 70 days from WrestleMania, I think was the graphic up there.
Coming up on 69.
I mean, back in the day, it was 6 weeks, and you'd get your next challenger for Bruno. But we're in a different era where you have to explain things a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because, we're in an era right now where if you read beyond the headline of a social media post, you're doing more detail than most people do.
Yeah, more detail, and you get different audiences, too. Like, there are people that probably listen to this show who don't know the whole background on the Four Horsewomen, so you have to tell them all about it.
Yep. Mike, do you care that Miz and Shane McMahon won the SmackDown Tag Team Championship?
Cool story, but doesn't really... I don't care. No. How about you?
I don't. Shane versus Miz at WrestleMania does nothing for me.
I mean,
Shane hitting the shooting star press was very cool.
Awesome.
That's
a tough thing to do.
I still think Miz should be in a championship, in a singles championship match.
I think he will. He'll get there. He'll get there eventually.
Not in a program with Shane McMahon because, and I guess this kind of bothers me a little bit, is that Shane with his limited ring experience shouldn't be 50-50 beating Cesaro.
Yeah, well, he did take the around the world, about 20 times with him?
Yeah, it just...
Yeah.
It's pro wrestling and it's star power, and I kind of get it.
Well, here's the other thing, too. For Cesaro, his partner, Sheamus, he's on the way out. I'm told that he doesn't have a lot of time left. So Cesaro is going to go back to the individual circuit sooner than later because... Sheamus probably has less than a year to go.
Well, so, and being in a tag team has lengthened Sheamus's career.
Exactly. So it's helped them out. So I just think you're right. With Shane, it doesn't do much for me, but it's just a bridge for The Miz to get those two together, and then that'll set up a good one-on-one scenario going into the summer.
One of the more disappointing things for me from this show was the Daniel Bryan AJ Styles match.
Mm-hmm.
And both are tremendous performers, but this one didn't work, and it's frustrating because it should have worked. They should have had plenty of time. They should have told a great story, and I wasn't there for it. And this is another instance where AJ hasn't done it for me. Daniel Bryan hasn't done it for me. And maybe it was the timing. Maybe it was the match placement. I'm really not sure, but this match missed with me.
Match placement was so bad after Becky Lynch wins the Women's Royal Rumble. You're right. It just something is off. Thank God Eric Rowan comes down. What's that about? You know, kind of get everyone's attention and just end this thing. It was so bad.
That's Eric Rowan is Daniel Bryan's heater.
Okay. All right. So, but to your point, though, Jimmy, you know, a portion of that match was like nails on the chalkboard. It was bad. I'm trying to think what was worse, AJ Nakamura or this one.
Well, you know,
pick your poison.
I'll probably have to go back and I'll watch this match eventually, like neutral, just load it up, watch it, and I'll go back and see if it was just the timing, the placement, the wear of the show. But
you're going with an open mind. I get it.
Yeah.
We had a lot thrown at us there. I thought the show started off really hot, and then you had the Women's Royal Rumble and this right here. It's like, oh, do we have to see this? It just slowed things down. And we have our good buddy Scott. Scott Isaacs was at the show in Phoenix, and he even said, Jimmy, on the text message to both you and I, this crowd is toast right now. They're done. So terrible placement. It just something didn't click between the two there. I don't know. And again, I like I said, like you even mentioned here, get AJ and Seth Rollins together, change it up, something. Just this rival is done. AJ and Daniel Bryan, not good.
Well, I'm wondering if it's match placement or if it goes to the whole emotionally invested. I'm emotionally invested in both characters, but this just wasn't. This wasn't what I was looking for. In the same way that in the past I criticized Becky and Charlotte for kind of a wrong match start.
Right.
So if AJ is the pit bull who Vince is trying to ignite a fire under,
yep,
then this match should have started a lot differently. This match should have started the way the Finn Balor-Brock Lesnar match started. Because as soon as that bell rang, Finn attacked.
Yeah. Went right after him.
And AJ and Daniel Bryan were trying to have a competitive wrestling match. So there's a difference.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what was amiss.
Yeah. And I
or maybe
I
it's thought, we got to the 3-hour mark of pro wrestling and we're just all done.
And I thought, you know, even this would have been a better draw, I think, for everyone if it were the first match of the night or the second match, but not after a scenario where you had a suspense of a Women's Royal Rumble winner for Becky Lynch because she's been so hot right now. And then, boom, this is just going from the left lane on the highway all the way to the right lane.
Mike, anything else on your Royal Rumble note sheet that we should get to?
Let's see here. I was just taking a look at it. Just going over the men's one more time. Really not a lot of star power in here. I mean, you had Jeff Jarrett come back. You had Kurt Angle. You had Rey Mysterio. That was it for the Legends. No The Rock. No one else. I loved how Jerry Lawler was doing the commentary. That was great. But the women's one, I think that's the direction we're going at right now because we're on pace to see the first ever women's WrestleMania main event. Even though the Women's Royal Rumble was not the main event tonight, that will be your main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think that because you have Ronda, her star power, Becky Lynch, as we've talked about, she's been the hottest thing in wrestling for a while.
Yeah.
I do think that they're going to add Charlotte Flair to that equation and make it a three-way, unless you know, our friends at the New Age Insiders seem to think that it might be a four horsewomen versus four horsewomen, eight-woman match to end the show. I'm not for that. I like stakes and I like championships on the line when I see a closeout show, or you know, I like the occasional retirement match. I just think that if it's not for the women's title, then why bother? But maybe their point is, well, now you can say that you had eight women say that they main evented WrestleMania as opposed to just two or three.
Yeah, and you know what? and the two or three, and then to see the two big things that's going to be very interesting to see what happens here between now and the Elimination Chamber, the placement of what you do for Charlotte Flair and what you do for Braun Strowman now. So those are my two big things to watch.
So this question just popped into my head as we kind of wrap things up here.
Yep.
Are we sure that Seth Rollins is going to go for Brock? Could Seth Rollins go for Daniel Bryan?
That'd be cool. I would not be opposed to that.
Because I would be more interested in that match.
Be much more interested in that. I just think he's going to stay with the Raw brand, though, because it looks like all indications are that Becky's going to go right for Ronda Rousey. So why would you have a double, you know, inner brand main event? So I think he'd stay for Brock Lesnar.
And I don't think Tuesday Night Rollins is a cooler t-shirt than Monday Night Rollins.
No, not for the time being. Now, I don't think you're onto something. That would be cool, but I don't see it happening, though.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either. But the thought popped into my head.
No, it's a good thought.
Pre-show, Nakamura won the U.S. title over Rusev. Buddy Murphy retained the Cruiserweight Championship. That was good stuff. And that's kind of it for the Royal Rumble, as far as I can tell.
Overall grade, I gave it a solid B. No, you know what? B minus.
Oh, I think this show was a D.
A D?
Yeah.
Okay, I gave it a B minus.
You had for the show itself, I thought that the two women's championship matches were excellent. I thought the rest of the show, you know, outside of the story that they told with Becky, Charlotte, and Seth winning, I thought this was pretty much a, you know, I just didn't love the show. I think it was too long. I think it fatigued me. You know what, Mike? I'll actually blame myself for this. I was looking forward to this show all day long. Yeah. I was excited for it. I thought there were six possible winners to the Royal Rumble on the men's side. I thought there were three or four possible winners on the women's side. And I think I was disappointed in the execution of it. I thought they had the world at their hands, and they just didn't deliver for me. I hope I'm the exception in that there are people who like this show. I was not one of those people who liked the show. And yeah. I tried to be positive, but I didn't like this show.
Well, let me just close out by saying this is my final thought, because, you know, on our Twitter page, the WrestleCast 95, we had a poll up earlier this week, and you and I put our heads together for our two favorite Royal Rumbles. You chose two, and I chose two. And what did you have, 97?
97 and 92.
Which I agree with, too. So I said, all right, I'm going to choose 94 and 99. I can't really, I mean, okay, maybe 2004, but really since then, I can't really think of a good Royal Rumble.
So I like the one where it was Roman defending the championship. I thought that Rumble told a good story. AJ came in at number three. You had Jericho as a, I think Jericho was a surprise entrant. He might not have been, but I know he was in the match.
Oh, was that
Ambrose and Triple H were the final two. I think it was 2015 in Orlando. I thought that Royal Rumble was a really good one. And I think I liked it more because it had stakes. It had the championship on the line.
And that's what Triple H won.
And it was Triple H was the surprise 30th entrant. I think he was a surprise at the time.
Yeah, he won.
He did end up winning the match, but I think he was a surprise entrant. AJ Styles debuted. That was a surprise. I felt like that was a good story. Okay. And then the one in the Alamo Dome, I think, had a lot of star power. That one had Goldberg and Brock and
Undertaker.
Yep. So those are two that kind of come to mind. I think the one in the Alamo Dome, Randy Orton won, which blah.
Yeah. It's like, well, I totally forgot he won until now. Yeah. So I don't know. I just have a hard time thinking it's like this is supposed to be your big build-up, your official kickoff to WrestleMania, when you want to have something a little more memorable. And I know last year the first ever Women's Royal Rumble was a big thing. I still am having a hard time comprehending of a great Royal Rumble, and this was not a great show. I give it an average B-.
Of course, a C would be an average grade, not a B minus. But last year's Final Four, I thought, was stronger. It was, if I remember correctly, it was Roman, Cena, Finn Balor, and Nakamura. And you had Nakamura who eliminated Cena and Roman, I believe. So that was really putting a lot of emphasis on Nakamura. And this was, it was down to Strowman and Seth. And I don't know, ever since Strowman tried to cut a promo against Lesnar and Heyman, I'm really down on him. And yep. Rollins, again, Seth Rollins deserves the Royal Rumble win and the shot at the championship in the main event at WrestleMania. I just think they could have executed a little bit stronger than they did. And maybe I'm being too critical. But your two championship matches are Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. They are the challengers going into WrestleMania. If it's Ronda and Becky, that's a good thing. If it's Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte, that's a good thing. If it's Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, meh. If it's Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan, I'm in.
Yeah, I would love that, but I don't know. The way they're going with this brand here, I just don't see it happening. That would be cool, though. So there you go. That's what we got. Royal Rumble 2019 in the books, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Road to WrestleMania underway.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. And this show's pace was much better than the Royal Rumble match itself.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.